20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Happy Saturday. We're into March. Which means free agency is coming up in the NFL real soon. I am Jason Perrone, along with Paul Brettel. Paul, how are you?
I am fantastic, Jason. Badgers basketball team is one win away from a share of the Big Ten regular season title. And on Friday, the Brewers inked Christian Yelich to a 9-year deal. Let's go.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing stuff going on in Wisconsin sports. And although my roots go back to there to, you know, back when I was a child, I really only support the Packers on an everyday basis. But I'm always happy for Milwaukee when they get good news and good sports fortune, because the fans really are good. They're invested people. And that goes for Packers fans too. It's just a good market. So I'm always happy when things work out in their favor, when the guy stays. Like, I remember back, and I'm dating myself, obviously, but I remember back in like the late 80s, free agency and baseball was just starting to big, and there was a big decision of whether or not the Brewers were going to bring Robin Yount back. There was talk about him, crazy $3 million a year salary back then, and he ended up staying with Brewers. Just love that stuff. And don't worry, Bucks fans, we're going to be celebrating the return of your king, Giannis, soon enough, but that's a couple years. So, all right, this particular episode, Paul and I are going to focus on, specifically, we're going to talk about Brian Bulaga, because Bulaga is a hot topic with the Packers right now. As we're getting ready to enter free agency, is he going to be back? Is he not going to be back? There's been plenty of conversation about it. In fact, Paul, you wrote a nice article on Dairyland Express about it, which I'll break down and talk about. But to kick things off, where we want to start is where we're at right now. So Brian Bulaga started every single game. He left a couple games early this past season, but played through all of them, had a phenomenal season. Numbers were great. To this point, early March, still has not had any official contact with the Packers about a new contract. And so that's what's causing a lot of this conversation about, do they re-sign him? Do they not? What's the dollar amount? You know, all those kind of things. So Paul, to kick it off, you've got some numbers as far as last season goes. Offensive linemen is kind of, you know, they're not the stat-heavy position, but just some numbers for the folks out there to remind them just how good he was in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. So a big thing with Brian Bulaga is his injury history, which obviously I'm not going to deny that's been a part of his career. But after tearing his ACL in 2017, the last two seasons, he started 30 out of 32 regular season games. And last season in particular, he was really good. He had, according to Pro Football Focus, he had 612 pass blocking opportunities. He gave up 4 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, 19 hurries, and had 7 penalties. And keep in mind, this was against some of the best edge rushers the NFL has to offer. Look at who the Packers went up against last season. I mean, Khalil Mack, Everson Griffin, Danelle Hunter, DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, Bradley Graham of the Eagles. I mean, you name it, they went up against some hard hitters last year, and he and Bulaga hung in there really, really well. And just for comparison's sake, because I know 4 sacks, 4 hits, you know, what do those numbers really mean? So let's look at Jack Conklin, the Titans' right tackle, who many consider the best tackle on the market this year. So he had 617 pass-blocking attempts to Bulaga, 612, so very equal. He gave up 5 sacks to Bulaga's 4. They both had gave up 4 quarterback hits. Conklin gave up 24 hurries to Bulaga's 19, and Conklin had 9 penalties to Bulaga's 7. Now, Conklin's going to earn more on the open market, but a lot of that's because of age, and I'm not sitting here saying that Bulaga should get Conklin money by any means. But my point with all of this is that the best tackle on the market right now and Bulaga had almost identical seasons, and if we're leaning one way, Bulaga was better. So he's coming off a very good season. And overall, the Packers have a tough decision to make because he is coming off an excellent season. But I can bet that if you put Brian Gutekunst in a room alone and gave him some truth serum and asked him, hey, do you want to re-sign a 31-year-old tackle to a 3-year deal for $30 million with an injury history? Of course, he's going to say no. But as I pointed out, he was very good last season. And so that's where the difficulty in this decision lies.
So he gave up 4 sacks and 4 quarterback hits. And are those like the same? So, I mean, is that saying that he didn't give up any hits to the quarterback beyond the 4 sacks?
No, I believe that it's in addition.
In addition to? That's incredible. I mean, those are great numbers. And for a guy that we've seen not finish seasons, and he had the big injury in 2013, which the plan, remember, was to move him to left tackle that year. And then he gets hurt, misses the season. David Bakhtiari steps in. The rest is his. Ryan Bulaga mans the right-hand side of the line. They've been one of the better pass-blocking units for a long time. And if then they were that again last year, and obviously Brian Bulaga coming back maintains that continuity. We use that word a lot, continuity on the offensive line for Green Bay, because Elgton Jenkins is certainly going to be back. Corey Linsley is going to be back. And Billy Turner is going to be. They paid Turner a bunch of money in free agency here. So your starting five would conceivably be the same. And for a quarterback who likes to keep things consistent and his aging, that's a factor as well. Aaron Rodgers, as you said, Paul, before we started recording, is 36. He'll turn 37 before 2020 is over. His mobility is not going to be what it was. He's going to have to learn to play within the pocket. And recently, Rodgers did, interestingly enough, after some conversation, say that he sees himself as still playing at a high level for a couple more years or more years. We talk about the contract situation and the fact that, you know, for all intents and purposes, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback of the Packers for at least 3 more seasons. Very unlikely to make it through that third season. I mean, the financial investment that the Packers have made. So all that has to go into the decision. But the numbers are important to look at. And for those out there who are saying, listen, he could get hurt. Anybody could get hurt. The health thing, you've got to assume that the player is going to play up to the same level that they just, you know, Brian Bulaga did not have some major injury. He doesn't have to have surgery on something. He wasn't playing through anything that's supposed to carry over to the next season. Now, we may find out differently as the offseason moves along, but you assume when he's playing at his best that he's going to give Green Bay at least another really good year. Now, what adds a little bit of fuel to this, and for those that are on the train of, I want Brian Bulaga back, he went on Wilde and Tausch this past week, and he openly said that he wants to stay in Green Bay. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Brian Bulaga is going to just take whatever the Packers give or his hometown discount, but Paul, just real quick, I mean, we talked a little bit about it before we started. Him saying that in the media, because a lot of negotiation, whether subtle or direct, happens in the media these days, that seems to bode well for at least the conversation to start and for Green Bay to have a shot to bring him back, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And like you said, he mentioned on that show multiple times, you know, he began his career in Green Bay. He would love to end it in Green Bay. He even said he grew up here. You know, he met his wife, had his kids here, all of that. But he also shouldn't, you know, from his standpoint as an NFL player, you know, if he can earn more money, he should. You know, these NFL players have a finite time to earn what they, you know, unless they're going to go on and do something else, but earn their career, you know, what they're going to make for their entire life. So if he has the opportunity to earn out more, he should definitely take that. And so just to give you an idea, if you're not familiar, SpotTrack has him earning a 3-year deal with an average annual value of $10.1 million, which to me, based on his performance, I think that's very fair. But like I said earlier, from the Packers' perspective, they don't typically hand out third contracts to offensive linemen. We saw them move on from T.J. Lang. We saw them move on from Josh Sitton. And with his injury history as well, that is something to factor in. That's just something that they have to consider in all of this. But I've said it before on here, so I'm going to say it one more time. I'll take 12 games of Brian Bulaga over 90% of the tackles in this league for 16. He's just a steady force. He's been very good. So, but obviously cost is something that the Packers have to factor in, especially with their limited, you know, compared to last year, their limited spending power. They also have need at receiver, depth at tight end, inside linebackers, another big position of need. So there's money that they have to spread around as well.
Well, the current state of the Packers tackle situation right now, which is obviously nowhere near set because we haven't even gotten to the draft. But Jared Valdir is not signed. He's a free agent. So there's been talk about he wants to come back and play, but that doesn't necessarily mean be back in Green Bay. Alex Light is still under contract. Yush Nijman is a tackle that's on the roster. Outside of that, you know, if I'm forgetting anybody, it's probably somebody that play much, you know, and obviously Bakhtiari's on the left-hand side of the line. It's not a great current state of affairs. So as you've said many times, Paul, the option to replace Brian Bulaga is definitely not on this roster. So we can eliminate the idea that anybody that's currently there can can just step in. And then as far as moving anybody around, you know, I think Elgton Jenkins' name gets mentioned because he played so well. I wouldn't be a fan of moving him around. I think he serves his purpose very well on the inside, and he was center in college. And I just am, you know, I remember Ted Thompson drafted a lot of tackles and moved them inside. I don't know about moving a guy from the inside to the outside. It just doesn't, it's never really seemed to bode well. The few times a TJ Lang tried to play tackle in his career, he didn't work out well. I remember Josh Sitton trying to move out to tackle, and that didn't work out well. So obviously, if they're going to address the position and Brian Bulaga's not back, they're going to have to look to the outside.
Yeah, 100%. Billy Turner. I know when he signed the contract originally, many thought that he may have been the long-term option at right tackle, because in his career, he has played at the tackle position before, but he struggles out there. Billy Turner's he's a big, imposing, physical player, but he's better working, you know, in the phone booth rather than an open space out on the edge. And honestly, I just think that if he was out there for a significant playing time, it just would not end well. And then, as you mentioned with Elgton Jenkins, he was excellent at guard last year. I think he had a few snaps or games at right tackle during his time in college. But overall, I think he's better at the guard. Once again, he's another strong physical player and works a lot better in the phone booth than he does in the open space. So, and then of course, Alex Light, just turn on the Eagles Packers game from last year, the Eagles Niners game from last year. And I think that does the talking for it. So any option that they have at right tackle is not on the roster right now. So if Bulaga walks, they're going to have to either go into free agency or rely on the draft to solve that problem.
So as far as a contract goes, you mentioned the numbers, $10 million average for 3 years. That's what's being thrown out there. You never know what it's going to end up being. You can work in and out of those deals. We talked a little bit about the salary cap, and I know that there's a lot of discussions in the CBA that are going on right now. I think we both agreed that I think the cap is set for this year, because CBA really relates to new agreement, which wouldn't take effect until after the 2020 season is over. So that's something to keep in mind, is that there's not going to be another big jump in cap for this year that's going to come out of the negotiations for a seat, because again, it doesn't really affect 2020. So $200 million seems to be the dollar amount. I don't know that that necessarily gives the Packers a ton more flexibility and option to bring a guy in. And a reminder, because we had a really good conversation with Ken Ingles about the contract situation, or the salary caps and some of those breakdowns. The 30% rule is another thing. As far as structuring a contract, you know, with an older player, you'd love to put incentives in there and get creative with it. But I think outside of signing bonus, which again, you know, the Packers could maybe get creative there, they have to be mindful about how they'd structure a deal if they're going to do one with Bulaga, right?
Yeah, 100%. And the new CBA, or the old CBA, kind of the overhang of all this, it's playing a big factor on free agency, and not just for the Packers, but for everyone else. And because of that 30% rule, but the Packers like to backload their contracts. So I believe Za'Darius Smith, you know, with his $65-ish million total contract that he's making, I think his cap hit or salary in this past season was only $6 or $7 million. So the Packers like to backload that. So if the new CBA gets done before then, maybe that opens up an avenue where they can bring in Bulaga and then another free agent like Austin Hooper, for example, just because it gives them more flexibility to push, you know, a larger portion of those dollars down the road, because the salary cap's been going up each year. So it's smart to take little, you know, less of a hit now, push a little to the next season where the cap, you know, might go from 200 to 210, you know, depending on the CBA and all that stuff. There's a lot of factors out there that are going to determine all this, but this is kind of an overhanging thing. But under the current cap situation, the Packers are a little tight for money, and they've been linked to Austin Hooper, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, Joe Schobert. So obviously they aren't going to sign all those guys, and they're not going to be able to do what they did last year. You know, maybe they could do a Bulaga and a Hooper or two of those guys, but I don't know. Based on what we're hearing, Tom Silverstein and Jim Owosarski from Packers News, you know, they said that the Packers and Bulaga haven't been in discussion. Matt Schneidman from The Athletic, he said he was working hard at the combine, and you know, his best guess is that he's on his way out. So honestly, there just may not be, from the Packers' end, you know, a willingness to bring him back at what he may fetch in free agents. And like I said, this is going to, regardless of if Bulaga is not on the roster, likely going to be a downgrade at the right tackle position with an aging quarterback. And obviously you can understand why there's some concern in that.
Yeah, there is a lot of variables, a lot of different things that the Packers have to consider. Now, if they can't do the money and they can't sign him, then the big question becomes, okay, well, how do you replace Brian Bulaga? Do you go the veteran tackle route? Jared Valdir is an option. We've talked about him in terms of what he offers right now. And this is a guy that they brought out of retirement to help add some depth to their tackle room last year. I don't think you want to count on that guy to play 16 games in 2020. He could surprise us and play 16 games, but if you're signing him, I think it's for depth and to make sure that, you know, the wall doesn't fall down, for lack of a better term. So if you're looking at free agents, you know, I'd have to think, Paul, if you want somebody stable, you're still gonna have to pay close to $10 million a year. I don't know why they would go with somebody else in free agents if they're not gonna just try to re-sign Brian Bulaga, because maybe if he wants to come back and Green Bay says, look, we've got things we want to do, we'd love to bring you back, but our number is 8.5 or 9 million. You know, Brian Bulaga may agree, and then you're really bringing that guy back instead of bringing somebody new into the fold, having to learn to play next to Billy Turner, learning the blocking scheme and all that kind of stuff. So as far as the free agent route goes, any thoughts from you? Is there anybody out there where you're like, well, I'd be okay if they looked at this or that guy?
Yeah, obviously Jared Valdir is the first that comes to mind. In his two starts last year, he had 58 pass blocking attempts, didn't give up a single sack, hurry quarterback hit, wasn't even called for a penalty. He filled in very, very well. The Seattle Seahawks with Jadeveon Clowney, they tested him early on. They lined him up over him and put him to the test, and he handled it wonderfully. He's going to come at a much lesser cost than what Bulaga is. And as good as he was over two games, let's keep in mind, he's a few years older than Bulaga. He was retired. And I think over a 16-game season, he's going to be exposed much more than what Bulaga would be. So like I said before, he'd be able to fill in, but it's just not going to be at that same level. And then if they sign him, all of a sudden drafting a tackle becomes a top priority. And I mean in like round one or two, because like I said, I think he's 33 going on 34 years old or in that ballpark. They likely aren't going to sign him for more than a 1-year deal. So now you need to start planning for the future more urgently than what you would have perhaps if you signed Bulaga to a 3-year deal where he's likely around for two of those years at a minimum.
Okay, so so anything to add?
I was going to say one potential player that could be out there, and like you said before, if you're going to get a viable option at tackle, he's still going to be in the $8 to $10 million range, which is where Bulaga is going to be.
Right.
And I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce his first name, but Vaitai of the Eagles. He's 26 years old. He played 331 snaps or pass blocking snaps at tackle last season, gave up two sacks, eight quarterback hits, 13 hurries. He's projected to be in the $8 to $10 million range. He is only 26 years old, though, as well. So he's not going to be, you know, Blog is better than what he is, but he's a younger player who you would build upon for the future. So you'd have a long-term plan in place by spending the $8 to $10 million a year versus Bulaga spending the $8 to $10 million per year, where it's more, you know, it's a short-term option while you go into the draft looking for a long-term solution.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get a deal done and they find a guy that's in that wheelhouse, is coming into his prime, that another team isn't going to move forward with, okay, that it becomes a fluid situation. But if you want to look to the draft, one name that's been rumored to the Packers picking at 30, and that's as they sit right now, they could move around, is offensive tackle Josh Jones. The Packers have had an interesting history in drafting offensive linemen over the years, and Brian Gutekunst, as much as he's not Ted Thompson, came from the Ted Thompson tree, and I think he's learned some lessons from Ted and even said so at the combine. He's learned lessons. So if you want to go with tackle early and you say best player available, you know, Josh Jones is one name that has been linked to Green Bay. And the tendency is, not only because Bulaga's been with the team for so long, but because he was picked in the first round, that, well, you got to pick a first round tackle if you're going to replace a Bulaga. You got to get somebody really, really good. You can't just hope to plug a mid round guy in there. And that's true to an extent. But like we were talking about before the show, I don't feel like offensive line and tackle are ever positions where a draft is weak on. I mean, there might not be as many elite prospects, but there's always a lot of offensive linemen that are coming out of school that the Packers could look to. And again, right now, they've got draft picks in every round. So they don't necessarily have to spend a first-round pick to address it. Obviously, if you're going to put a rookie out there, you want one that's played a lot in college and that's got a good pedigree. But, you know, it's not to say they couldn't find lightning in a bottle again and find the next David Bakhtiari in round 4 or round 5. You know, I think Josh Sitton was a fifth rounder, a fourth rounder. T. TJ Lang was a second rounder, and they've missed. They missed on Jason Spriggs. So if they're going to look to the draft, do you feel like that would be an avenue the Packers could go and still make you feel confident? Obviously, then you would hope that they've got a veteran that can step in there and start the first couple games they need to, then plug another guy in there, kind of like what Elgton Jenkins did last year, although that, you know, Lane Taylor's injury paved the way. So how do you feel about the draft being the avenue if instead of bringing Brian Bulaga back or going to the free agency?
Yeah, and in my perfect world, even if Brian Bulaga is back, they would still address the tackle position within the first three or four rounds. Because like I said, Bulaga may get a three-year deal, but there's likely going to be an out after 2 years. And to me, this is an important position that they need to start planning ahead for. So even if Bulaga's back, I am pro-drafting an offensive tackle within the first four rounds. So now if he's gone, obviously that gets, I put more of an emphasis on that. But I still think they have to go out, even if they – you know, they have to go out and get a Jared Valdir and then draft a long-term replacement. That would just be such a huge hole to leave if they don't get Valdir, for example. And I don't think it's a slam dunk that they do. Adam Schefter reported earlier this week that there have been multiple teams interested in him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether that's Valdir's representatives putting that information out there to try to get a contract, whatever it is, it's still something that you have to be mindful of. And so you don't want to go into the draft, you know, especially as late as pick 30 and going, all right, we have to draft a tackle. You just don't want to put yourself in that situation. That's how you overdraft. That's what leads to busts, because you feel like you have to take a position. So regardless of whether Blog is back or not, in my opinion, they have to go get a veteran. You know, if it's Valdir, or maybe they go get Vitae, like I said, and spend the money, which would obviously eliminate the need for spending an early round pick on the tackle given his age. But say they go get Valdir, they have to draft one the first few rounds for that long-term, reassurance at the position. So if they have Valdir, do they have to take one in the first round? No. But early on, they need to be looking for that long-term replacement.
Well, they're going to do it anyway, because next year, Corey Linsley and David Bakhtiari's contracts come up. So, I mean, they're going to have to draft offensive line and prep for, in the event that, one, both of those guys don't come back. I mean, it's Paul, think about this, okay? Worst-case scenario in terms of players that are playing well right now and that we like. We could be going into 2021 with no Brian Bulaga, no David Bakhtiari, and no Corey Linsley. What kind of thoughts does that make you have just thinking about that? Like, if that were to be the case, like, that's where we're sitting right now in terms of contracts. If they just say, okay, we're not paying anybody, we're going to start over completely, like, those three guys could potentially not be on this roster a year from now.
That's not a football world that I want to live in, Jason.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think I just ruined Paul's sleep patterns for the next week. And I don't think all three of them won't be back, but I don't think all three of them will be either. I think the Packers have some decisions to make, because they still have to address Kenny Clark and decide if they're going to pay him. Interesting conversations about Kenny Clark and defensive tackle and the value there, because he's going to command some really good money. Somebody's going to give it to him. Do the Packers value the tackle position, and as good as he's been, enough to pay him what he's worth? Or do they decide, hey, we want to go a different route? The Packers have always seemed to stock up on defensive linemen. Whether or not it works out is a different story. They paid Dean Lowry. Dean Lowry was okay in 2019. I don't know if this is what they envisioned when they signed him, or if he was a little bit of a disappointment for them, but he's going to be around for a little bit, and they're probably going to have a decision to make there too. Rashawn Gary can rotate in there, I guess, if you want him to. You guys still got Lancaster on the roster. Adams, this is going to be a critical year for him. So when you think about all the different needs and all the different positions, all these things are intertwined. So that's why I mention all of that too, because it's not just about, like, well, how do we address offensive line? You have to kind of look at what the overall situation is, right?
Yeah, 100%. It all goes together, and that's the hard part about this, is because, you know, when you go through, you know, if we really went through the Packers' needs, obviously tackle, receiver, inside linebacker, Kenny Clark could use some help on the inside. They need some depth at tight end. They need added depth at cornerback. You know, heck, they need another running back. You know, we don't know Aaron Jones's future, but also last year was just Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Wouldn't it be nice to have a third option in there as well? So if you go through all the options, there's always needs to fill, and that's just how the NFL is, and you're not going to fill them all with top-end talent, so you have to prioritize. And for me, with all these positions, if Bulaga isn't back, tackle shoots to priority. You have, like we talked about earlier, Aaron Rodgers is going to be 37 this year. He doesn't move like he, you know, he can still get out of the pocket and scramble, but he's not the same Aaron Rodgers with his feet. And to me, tackle is a more important position than what tight end and inside linebacker are. And this draft class is loaded at receiver, so go get them there. So that's just my thoughts on the matter. I think that, you know, if it was up to me, which unfortunately it's not, and maybe it's probably a good thing, but I would bring back Bulaga.
Yeah, I think we're both on the same page there. You at least have to try. You just have to try to bring him back. He's good and too much of a stalwart addition to not at least try. So speaking of the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers just said, you know, we're recording this on Friday afternoon, and just today Aaron Rodgers talked about the Packers potentially drafting a quarterback, and he didn't shy away from it at all. He said bring it on because he thinks he can beat that guy out, and it doesn't matter who they bring in because they're not going to beat him out for himself playing for several more years, of the words that in at a high level. And that would seem to work well for the Packers if true, because again, like we said, he's going to be in the fold for the years, and the Packers have to decide how to protect. But I mentioned it before we started, Paul. It's interesting because here we are over 10 years later, and Aaron Rodgers is starting to feel and say some of the same things we heard another Packers quarterback from the past say. And I just found that interesting. Just a little bit of extra candy for our listeners before we sign off on Rodgers' comments and his wanting to stick around and believing that no matter who they bring in, he beat that guy out anyway.
Yeah, no, he said all the right things. He understands that, you know, the Packers, and Brian Gutekunst mentioned it in one of the off-season press conferences that he's done, that if there's a quarterback prospect that is available and they love him, they're going to draft him. However, I think the big difference between where Rodgers is now and where Favre was is who's available. You know, when Favre was, the Packers were drafting 24th overall, Aaron Rodgers, a borderline number one pick, or who everyone thought was the number one pick, happened to fall to them. In this scenario, nobody's expecting Tua or Joe Burrow to fall to them. It's Jordan Love or Jacob Eason or, you know, whoever it may end up being. And, you know, that's different than, you know, a borderline first or second round pick or wherever they may fall being available. So I personally hope they don't draft a quarterback in the first round this year. I want them to build around Rodgers. Like I said, if Joe Burrow or Tua falls, let's have a conversation. But if it's one of the other guys, build around Rodgers, and he has the right mentality for it, and he could beat out any of those guys without even thinking about it. So he said all the right things. He did the right things, but he shouldn't be concerned.
I would find it really hard to believe after everything the Packers went through 10 years ago that they would do it to themselves again and surprise the face of their franchise with a guy. I mean, again, if a good prospect falls, Aaron Rodgers was that in 2005.
Right.
So he understands, okay, it is what it is, but I'm still going to try to beat that guy out. But I don't see that happening. And frankly, I think the Packers really would be wise to address, you know, some other areas. And I think that they will. In fact, you had a good little nugget that came out today that was a mock draft. Tell everybody about the mock draft that you saw, because this was I have not heard this scenario before. We always hear scenarios and what are the Packers going to do? Might they trade out? Might they trade up? This was the first time I had heard this particular theory. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it was just fun to listen to. So let's just throw it out there.
Yeah, it was really fun because, you know, the mock drafts, they all have the Packers drafting, you know, the same handful of receivers, the same two linebackers. So this was a fun one to see. So Carter Donick of the Draft Network, and if you haven't checked out the Draft Network, you absolutely should. He put out his mock draft, I think it was his fourth or fifth version this offseason, and he had the Packers trading up, which we've seen Brian Gutekunst do before, obviously last year to get Darnell Savage. The year before, he traded back and then up to get Jaire Alexander. But he had the Packers trading up from 30 all the way to number 11 to get Isaiah Simmons, I call him a super linebacker, does it all, played in the corner, slot corner, lined up at defensive line, was in the box, played free safety last year, literally did it all, super linebacker. Had them trading up to get him at pick number 11, I believe it was from the Jets. And to do that, they had to give up their first rounder this year, so number 30, number 62 this year, their second rounder, and then their first rounder next off. So, Jason, yes or no?
Well, I say no just simply because of the four, quarterback or a stud pass rusher or the best offensive tackle. I might be okay with it, but I would say that's a bit rich for me. But listen, I could be eating those words 4 years from now when Simmons is the best, winning the defensive player of the year, and you know he's the second coming of insert whoever. You know, defensive players don't tend to. There's very few that are big, big tilters. And we've been treated in Green Bay over the past, 30 years to see two really, really good ones in Reggie White and Charles Woods playing Green Bay, and a handful of others that were fantastic. Leroy Butler, who in the Hall of Fame, and hopefully a bunch of others. But for that, yeah, that would be a crazy move. I'm all for making a big move and getting an impact player, but that's a lot of capital to give up. And again, for some of those needs that we mentioned that are at least on paper right now, next season, you could potentially be a starting center or left tackle. I just think having a first round pick is a valuable thing, just given that.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I'm sure Mike Pettine would absolutely love it, especially given his versatility. But no, I agree. Like we talked about, the needs are tackle, adding to the cornerback room, tight end, defensive interior. Losing a second rounder this year and then a first rounder next year. Simmons is a heck of a player, but no, I'm with you. That's not something I would advocate for.
Yep. So the next time we get together and talk, we're going to have some fun stuff to talk about because the legal tampering period will have already started. In fact, I think that starts a week from Monday, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So we'll be back in 2 weeks, you and I together. In the meantime, you'll find Paul's great work at Cheesehead TV and Dairyland Express. And you can also find all of his fantastic tweets. And if you're a Wisconsin sports fan, you'll get treated to some Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers tweets as well. So like you said, Wisconsin sports, good things going on right now, right?
100%. We got three professional teams. We got four guys, Ryan Braun, Aaron Rodgers, Giannis, and Yelich. And we got five MVP titles. Life is good right now.
Life is good, absolutely. Baseball's right around the corner. Free agency in the NFL is coming up soon. So a lot of fun, a lot of good stuff to talk about. So, Paul, good stuff as always. Thank you. And everybody else, enjoy the rest of your weekend. But don't forget, your one last task for the week, go Pack, go. We'll be right back.